3,000 students at the University of Nottingham. They know what this means.
This is Jeff Selling from Sky Sports, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Bit of space for Ben Osborne towards the edge of the penalty area. The youngster goes on and smashes it home! What a strike from Ben Osborne!
Ball 25 yards out, he's going to shoot! Oh, what a goal from John Stead!
This is URN Sport.
Good evening and a very warm welcome here on this Thursday evening to the URN Sports Show. My name is Joe Tanner, and over the next hour we're going to be bringing you everything in the world of university and local sport from the week gone by. I'm joined this week in the studio by Tom Elliman, Alex Buxton, Jeremy Dunn and Harry Vogt. Now we're going to be playing in a bit a interview I conducted with the University of Nottingham Corfball President.
The best way to describe it, I'd say, is a mixture between basketball and netball. And it's like a mixed gender sport, so you've got boys and girls playing at the same time on the court, which makes it quite different from a lot of things.
And as well as that, me and Jeremy went down to the Nottingham Hockey Centre yesterday to cover the University of Nottingham's 4-2 triumph over Durham University in the Bucks Cup. Into the net for the University of Nottingham just as the halftime whistle blows. It's 2-2 now down here at the Nottingham Hockey Centre. But before all that, it's time to give you the Bucks roundup for this week. As we come toward the business end of the Bucks season, the Green and Gold demonstrated another fantastic week of results in the leagues and cups after 53% of matches were won this week. In American football, the University of Nottingham suffered an agonising 28-27 defeat at the hands of Leeds Beckett University last weekend in the semi-final playoff. Attention will now be focused on retaining their varsity title for URNAF. It was a clean sweep of victories this Wednesday for Babington, including 7-1 triumphs over Warwick, Oxford Brookes and Birmingham for the men's seconds, thirds and the women's third team. The victory against Birmingham second saw the women's thirds retain their place on top of Midlands 2A after an unbeaten season. In women's basketball, our first and seconds came out on top against East Midlands rivals Trent First and Derby First, 63-53 and 53-27 were the results. Meanwhile, in football, it was a good week for the men's thirds, with a 3-2 victory over Worcester at Highfield, which saw them retain their place on top of the league by a 3-point margin in Midlands 3B. Elsewhere, there were defeats for the men's seconds in Force and the women's seconds against Loughborough, Bedfordshire and Birmingham. In the game of the day, it was a resounding victory for the men's first against Durham First at the Nottingham Hockey Centre, with a rampant 4-2 win, which guarantees their place at Big Bucks Wednesday next week in Bath, after the semi-final cup win. Elsewhere in hockey, the men's seconds beat Worcester First 10-2 away from home. The men's fives drew 2-2 with De Montfort, while the women's thirds and fourths were involved in 2-1 and 8-0 wins against Leicester First and Oxford Brookes fourths. For UON lacrosse, there were victories versus Warwick seconds and Birmingham fourths for the women's seconds and third teams. In netball, it was a 68-39 victory against Birmingham thirds for the women's firsts, while the seconds defeated Oxford First 47-28. In rugby league, the first defeated Coventry 70-38, while in union there were wins over Loughborough and Northampton for the men's firsts, thirds and women's seconds. In table tennis, there was a 5-0 win over Strathclyde, while there were victories over Aston and Warwick for tennis. That's your Bucks roundup for this week. The University of Nottingham finished the week in fourth in the overall Bucks rankings, with 4,164 points, 87 points behind Durham in third place. Yes, significantly there, Jeremy. 87 points behind Durham in fourth place. The first time we've been able to say that this season for the Green and Gold. Been so excellent every single week at retaining third in the overall Bucks standings. But this week, they've slipped to fourth, although we think it might be due to a very good week for Edinburgh.
Yeah, that's the only possible reason I can see for this, Joe, because we've been saying for, I think, several months now how we've been in third place. We've been closing that gap on Durham. And we are now, like you said, 87 points behind them, which is the closest we've been for ages. But again, at the same time, hollow victory, because now Edinburgh have somehow leapfrogged both of us and have gone up into second place. I mean, looking at it, I'm trying to find how they've been doing, and what seems to be standing out is their swimming seems to have had a very strong week. They've got a huge amount of points that have surged them seemingly up the table from fourth to second and pushed us back down. But I mean, there's still time, but I think now it's looking more like the fact we're going to end in, annoyingly, after when we got so close. I remember last week we were saying we could finish in second potentially. I think it's going to be hopefully a third place if we can claw back on Durham. That's a surprise. surprising week for us, I think.
Yes, well, we certainly hope that the University of Nottingham can regain their third position in the overall Bucks standings when we come towards the business end of the campaign. Alex, it was, despite Edinburgh's good fortunes and good results this week, a very good week for the University of Nottingham. Who do you pick out in terms of clubs as the outstanding performers this week?
I think we've got to start off by congratulating the badminton team, who pretty much every team that played won, including the men's seconds, who beat Warwick thirds, the men's thirds, who beat Oxford Brookes, the men's fourths, who beat Newham first, and the women's, who beat thirds, who beat Birmingham seconds. So it was an overall really good week. And as you said, we find it a bit of a surprise that we did drop down to fourth, considering that we didn't have a particularly bad week.
Tom, the rugby teams have also done particularly well this week, a clean sweep of victories, well, for rugby league and then a couple in union as well.
Yeah, really strong results for both rugby codes. Rugby league have completed 10 wins out of 10, I think, this season. They've had an incredibly strong season, with the men's first picking up the points away at Coventry in a 70-38 thriller. And then rugby union have also had a very strong week. Three out of the four teams have won. The rugby union particularly, I think, has come on a lot since last year when they did have a few troubling points in their season, but no, generally a great week for both rugby codes, and they've gone from strength to strength.
Yeah, that 37-7 win at home against Loughborough Seconds really stands out there as a brilliant victory for the rugby union club at this week. Harry, who do you pick out as the outstanding performers this week?
Well, although it was a mixed week for the hockey club as a whole, you can't really look past the hockey first men's winning their semi-final against Durham just yesterday. Great result, and going into a final against Loughborough will be a very, very tough game because they're top of the books rankings, but you've got to back the green and gold to get through, I think, and win the cup.
And 2-8-4 wins there for tennis, Jeremy. The men's fourths and the women's thirds against Aston and Warwick. They're continuing their dominance this season, as we've spoken about so often on the Thursday Sports Show, retaining their unbeaten runs in all leagues across all teams for most of the season.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see that tennis are doing well. And also, on a slight digression from that, it's also good to see that table tennis have bounced back after a pretty rough week. I mean, it's only one win, but it's for the women's first, and it was in the cup, but I think they needed that after last week. But yeah, for tennis, it's really good to see that they are continuing with it. And it's a shame, though, that all of these, you know, that we have been a string of good results. Also, my one which I point out is also lacrosse. Again, they've been doing very well. Women's seconds, again, building on another good result after their win last week, where they won gold in the cup, and they've won again this time away at Warwick. It's really good to see that a lot of the teams are still building and carrying on that momentum, which we spoke about, were they going to be able to sustain it, and a lot of them have been able to. It's just a shame that at the same time Edinburgh seem to have suddenly had a late surge in this race for the top three.
Yeah, certainly have undercut us this week, but still a 53% win rate is nothing to be sniffed on. Alex, who else for you stands out this week in terms of clubs?
I would have to say the disappointing form actually for football has got to stand out, with a number of the teams losing. I mean, the men's seconds losing 2-0 to Loughborough seconds. I mean, that is expected. Loughborough are renowned for their sporting prowess. But equally, the men's force losing to Bedfordshire force and the women's seconds losing to Birmingham seconds. These are disappointing results for football, who have had quite a mixed campaign overall. And it is kind of quite sad to see that.
Yeah, the results for football quite significant, but one win there for the men's thirds increases their dominance in League Midlands 3B with their 3-2 victory over Worcester thirds. Harry, when we come to this business end of the campaign in terms of Bucks results, obviously an eye turns towards the Nottingham Varsity Series coming up at the end of March. Who are you thinking out of the clubs this week are going to take the form from their Bucks results into this Varsity Series?
I can't look past the women's first team basketball. They've continued their great form throughout the year, and they've won again, and especially as it's against Trent this week. So that all looks good for the Varsity Series coming up. I'd go along with badminton as well. They look in good form as a club. I'd back them for a good success, and that's on the Super Wednesday, I think. And I'm going to that game, so I'm looking forward to watching some badminton with all the teams in good form, so hopefully we can continue that form and take it through to Varsity.
Interesting with futsal, Jeremy. The club doesn't seem to have had a particularly good campaign in Bucks despite their promising form in the Elite League. Do you think that could prove troublesome when considering they are one of the first teams to be playing in the first block of the varsity fixtures. I think only the third fixture into the series.
Yeah, I think it could. I think it could prove to be a real issue for them. Hopefully I'm proven wrong, but it's the first game which will be held at David Ross, which will be a splendour for everyone to go and watch, but it's one of the big curtain raisers for this season's varsity, and they have had some very temperamental form, I think, across futsal. The first team has actually overall done relatively well in their Bucks League, but it's looking further back down the pecking order. Teams like the seconds haven't done as well as I think they'd hoped to this year. They had a decent campaign last season and they really wanted to push on, but they haven't quite been able to, and the loss this week, granted it was away in the cup to Bournemouth seconds, but which obviously then was a long trip for them to have to deal with, but that I think is probably a real blow, and just before varsity that's not what they needed.
Yeah, just on top of that, actually, I've been looking at futsal first team's recent form and they've lost 5 of their last 6 games, and coming into varsity that's not the kind of form you want given the importance of the fixture.
Yeah, Tom, do you pick out any clubs in terms of being able to successfully carry their Bucks form or turn their Bucks form around when considering the varsity series is coming up so thick and fast on the sporting calendar?
Yeah, I think one team that does stand out is the women's lacrosse team. They've been in exceptional form recently and have picked up a host of victories over the last week, and the men's lacrosse has also been strong, so I'm hoping for big things for the lacrosse varsity event. I think perhaps one of the team that stands out is the men's and women's table tennis as well. Nottingham has very strong table tennis teams and we'll be hoping to pick up a lot of varsity points there as well.
Yes, yeah, so we've covered the University of Nottingham Table Tennis Club to death on this Thursday sports show with the success that they've had this season. Now we're just going to leave the Bucks Wednesday results for a moment to cover some of the weekend's action in Bucks, including the University of Nottingham Corfball Club, whose second team got their third cup win in 3 years down in Cardiff at the weekend. I caught up with the University of Nottingham Corfball president Stuart Mould earlier this week.
This is URN Sport.
I'm delighted to be joined here by Stuart Mould, the president of the University of Nottingham Corfball Club. Now, for those that don't know, Stuart, what is corfball about and how do you play it?
Well, the best way to describe it, I'd say, is a mixture between basketball and netball. And it's like a mixed gender sport, so you've got boys and girls playing at the same time on the court, which makes it quite different from a lot of things. But I can't really do it justice by speaking about it. The best way to get a good idea of more of what it's about is go onto YouTube, and there's lots of material on there. But it's higher than a basketball hoop and without the backboard, so it makes it a bit more difficult.
Now, you guys compete in the Bucks Leagues over the course of the year, but you guys actually had a recent victory on Sunday down in Cardiff with the Bucks Trophy. Could you tell us a little bit more about that, with your second team winning that competition?
Sure, yeah. The Bucks Trophy competition is the second tier tournament for corfball, and it's a mixture of the teams that didn't make it through into the championship tier, which was the week before for first teams. This weekend, the second team did really well. They managed to come home with the gold, winning it from finishing top of their pool and then going through to the quarter final on the Saturday, which ended in a tense penalty shootout before managing to get through to top four for the Sunday. And then we had a nice rivalry match against Birmingham, ended 5-4 in the end before moving on to the final, which again finished in a penalty shootout.
And that's the third victory in 3 years, am I right in saying, for the second team in that competition. How have you seen the team, not just the second team, but the club as a whole, grow over your time at the university?
Well, this year we've kind of developed more in terms of, last year we came up with the fourth team. We developed a Bucks fourth team because we were able to expand on that due to the growth and the amount of members we've had. And this year we've taken that again forward, turning it, traditionally it's more of the social team that's entered, but this year the amount of members we've got and everyone's very keen and wanting to get into their Bucks and everything, that we've ended up tuning that more towards more performance side. So hopefully they'll come home after this weekend where they'll be entering their own competition and see how they do after that.
So recruitment as a whole then this year went particularly well for the Corfball Club?
Yeah, definitely. We ran a welcome week at the start of the welcome fair, looking to where we normally get like a stand down there, because most people haven't seen a corfball hoop before, myself included, before coming to uni and seeing it at the fresher stand. It stands very high off the ground and a distinctive yellow bucket as such, and so everyone kind of walks over like, what's this? And then has a go a few shots and realises it's quite hard, and then you have people under the post talking to them, and you've got the distinctive corfballs, which are yellow and blue. And this year we managed to recruit 45 people to corfball out of a club of 94, so you're looking at quite a lot of people coming into the club this year, making it one of the biggest it's been in the last few years.
Now, in terms of your competition throughout the year, of course you had the second team doing so well this weekend, but how's the team got on as a whole throughout the duration of this campaign?
Well, the first team had a very good year for how they've developed throughout losing some strong shooters from the year before. They've had to pick themselves up and bring in some very talented freshers that have started onto the team. And this year, so they had a very tough championship, which slightly didn't swing their way. They had a very similar penalty shootout situation like we did on the Saturday, and unluckily it didn't manage to roll that way, so they didn't manage to get through into the top four for that one. But they're doing very well in their local league, the Central England League, which is one of the higher ones in the country, really, and they're moving up. Recently moved up and towards the middle of the table for that one. Second team got their local league matches, because I should say that being a non-Bucks Wednesday sport, we enter local league fixtures, so everyone gets their matches out weekly as well. That's the local leagues I'm talking about. So the second team as well is looking to pull themselves up higher and towards the middle of the table, along with the other two. And the third and fourth team have got their Bucks plate coming up this weekend, so wish them all the best with that.
Yeah, we'll keep a close eye on that one. Now, that's quite interesting about playing against other corfball teams that aren't universities. Do you find that the standard of the university teams and the local sides differentiates a lot, or is there not that much margin for error, really, in terms of the standard of the teams?
Well, it's quite interesting from seeing it that way. The way the years normally start, especially with the teams where we influx a lot of the freshers in and people haven't really played corporal or heard about it before, at the start of the year, the local league matches against often adults who played, some of them played for 20, 30 years, against people who've played for 20, 30 minutes sometimes, if it's one of the beginning matches of the season. And what normally happens, and has happened this year again, is that at the beginning of the season, we get a bit battered around and everyone doesn't, you know, you don't always look for the wins straight at the start because you're still learning the rules and that kind of thing. But then as the year goes on, the team gets a lot stronger and better, and you can see that from the results picking up, looking across the history of the matches. And then by the end of the year, we're a very competitive side, and we're often are beating the top teams in the local kind of clubs and everything. So you start off weak and growing strong. That's exactly what we've seen this year.
Now, in terms of competition at the University of Nottingham, of course the Nottingham Varsity Series is coming up thick and fast on the calendar here at the University of Nottingham. Corfball is currently not a varsity sport at the university, but do you think there is capacity and potential to see it on the varsity calendar in future years?
Oh, I'd love to see a corporal varsity. I think that'd be fantastic. I think it is something that's happened before in the past, from looking through had to move the sports locker over from the old facility into the David Ross this time, and I found a very old kind of varsity looking trophy, so hopefully we can get that out again. Definitely think UON are ready for it, so hopefully Trent can get a corporal club together and we can see some varsity in the coming years.
And how would listeners, if they wanted to get involved at the corporal club at the University of Nottingham, how would they get involved in the team and in participation?
Well, definitely turn up to next year. Looking just at next year, you can turn up for all the taster sessions at the beginning, and the first few sessions are normally open for people, and so you can get involved with all of those straight off the bat. And definitely don't feel like, oh, I've never heard of it, I'm not very good at ball sports, that kind of thing. That's not a barrier at all. You should definitely be turning up to them. Talking about the rest of this year, you've still got, we run Monday night engage sessions 8 till 9, and we're still looking to keep those going as we're getting a decent amount of turn up for them. So if you want to just come down for those, they're still free, so turn up for those engage sessions.
This is URN Sport.
Many congratulations there to UON Corfball for their victory in the Bucks Cup at the weekend. Now, Jeremy, Corfball, not a club we often cover on the Thursday Sports Show, but they did very well there with their second team victory and have done so well throughout the season, really.
Yeah, it is a bit of a shame that we don't. I mean, this is the thing which we do talk about sometimes. There are these small clubs which we don't often talk about because they do get overshadowed by the big boys, like you said earlier, table tennis, that we talk quite a lot about because of their grandstand success they have. But it's good to see that these small teams are actually getting the triumphs and the success they need, particularly in the Bucks Cup at the moment. And one thing which we were talking just whilst that was going on about was the fact that they aren't in the Super Wednesday, which is a bit of a shame actually, because they're a team that would very much benefit from being from the extra publicity that a lot of the smaller sports do get that on that day.
Yeah, the Super Wednesday aspect, Alex, is an interesting thing because there is this myriad of sports that is present on Super Wednesdays, the likes of Thai boxing, trampolining, golf, ultimate frisbee, all these different sports. But yeah, whilst those sports are getting the highlight that they're probably relishing in, a lot of sports like corfball possibly missing out.
Yeah, it is a shame to see that. But I think, as we were kind of discussing earlier, that corfball, maybe that Trent do not have the same level of kind of corfball at their uni, so they can't provide the competition necessary for Corfball to actually have a proper varsity event, because part of the kind of thrill of varsity is the kind of closeness of the games, the rivalry. And if you're sending a team like the Notts team, who have done so well recently against a struggling Trent side, it might be a whitewash and damaging the confidence of the Trent players.
Do you think that perhaps, Tom, is a theme about Super Wednesday as a whole, that the strength and depth of sport at this university is so great, so much greater than it is at Trent, where, you know, they put so much effort into the bread and butter sports like football, rugby, the ice hockey, all those sorts of sports, whereas when it comes to Super Wednesday, they're a bit out of their depth, as we saw last year when the University of Nottingham beat Trent, I think 8-1 or 9-1 it was on the day of Super Wednesday.
Yeah, I think it's a really important factor of the Varsity Series that should definitely not be overlooked. I think when you look at the Super Wednesday, it's such an important time for the Uni of to pick up points. And I think it's a shame, really, because it does sort of detract from the competitiveness, as Alex was saying, of the competition, simply because whilst Trent are very, very strong at, you know, the bread and butter sports, they do struggle when it comes to the more eclectic, I suppose would be the right word, and I think Corfball's a good example of that. And on the other hand, though, whilst it would be good for Notts to pick up points there, I think on the other hand you've got to look at the competitive nature of it, and if it's not really a spectacle, if there's no point, if it's just a whitewash, then neither team really gets much out of it, and it doesn't make much of a spectacle either. So I think there are two different forces which should be considered, to be honest.
And Corfball's issue, Harry, is not one that is just limited to the Corfball club. Of course, there are a lot of clubs at the University of Nottingham which have this issue of wanting to compete in the Varsity Series but not having perhaps the opponents or the team or the facility themselves, a bit like women's cricket, for example, that have the men's cricket game being so successful down at Clifton Campus, but then there's the women's game who are left without competition.
Yeah, I've just had a look on the internet there, and it doesn't appear that Trent actually have a Corfball team, so there'd be no possible way that there could be a fixture. And yeah, it is disappointing for a sport when you train all year, you play all year, and then this big sporting series, which is probably the pinnacle of university sport, comes along and you can't compete because the other university, Trent, doesn't have a team. But I still think they can get behind the team after a great year and get involved in other ways with varsity and get down and support. So it's not all bad, I don't think. One sport that I'm glad to see have got their own Super Wednesday slot is wheelchair basketball. I think they've been involved with the men's and women's basketball games being sandwiched in between them last year, I remember. And this year they've got their own event, which can really help showcase the sport. So in that sense, when a sport gets its own event, when it's been sandwiched in between another sport, it really gets to have its time in the limelight, and it's such a good day as well. So they'll get a lot of coverage out of it.
Yes, it is definitely a debate which we will continue on the Thursday Sports Show. Now we're just going to turn from matters of varsity to matters of Bucks again, because me and Jeremy went down to the men's first hockey match yesterday against Durham First, where the University of Nottingham ran out 4-2 winners and progressed to the Big Bucks Wednesday yesterday. Here is our commentary package of that match.
This is URN Sport.
Good evening and a very warm welcome. We are down here at the Nottingham Hockey Centre for the University of Nottingham first men's team against Durham Ones in the semi-final of this Bucks National Cup competition. Whoever wins this will progress to the Big Bucks Wednesday this weekend at Bath University. The sun's shining, the ultras are to our right making an absolute racket, and it's a lovely setting here down near Highfields. The University of Nottingham are hitting from left to right. Green tops, white shorts and the green socks with a yellow tipping. Now, the Uni of Nottingham first team have had a very promising season up to now, haven't they, Jeremy? They've been in formidable form in Bucks throughout the campaign, which will serve them very well going into the Varsity Series against Nottingham Trent. What are your expectations for this match?
I think it's going to be a pretty close game. The last game, actually, speaking on Varsity, though, Joe, was against Trent, where they beat them 4-2 last Wednesday. Durham came in third in the Bucks League as well, with Loughborough separating the Uni of and our opponents here today, Durham.
So they've shown over the course of the that Bucks campaign they are the better team. It's just going to be how they're going to perform today. And they're starting off promisingly. They are attacking into the Durham quarter, and they are keeping Durham pinned back at the moment.
Yeah, just to read out the team sheet for you. Number one in goal is Jack Tranter, and the back line is comprised of Ali Clift, Mo Gandhi, an American international, Rolf Steenmester, Josh Rollett, and Julius Nagel. In the midfield, we've got James Gall, Harry Norris, James Hodkinson, Sean Sissy, and then up top is Sam Clark-Knowles on the bench, Johnny Ruiz, Kieran Ratcliffe, Tom Sorsby, Eddie Eifler, and Ed Treese. And the University of Nottingham take the lead through the number 30 up top. I think it was Clark-Knowles just broke away there. Long ball upfield and a through pass set him in on goal. And he slotted home very, very coolly past the Durham keeper who was left on his feet on a very slippery surface down here at the Nottingham Hockey Club. They weren't afraid to put the sprinklers out on the AstroTurf before this match as Durham picked the ball up in the middle of the pass. It's with the number 16 back to the left wing position. So the University of Nottingham taking an early lead there through Clark-Knowles, Jeremy. A very precise and accurate finish. It was a well-worked goal, wasn't it, to make it 1-0 to the green and gold?
Yes, it certainly was, Joe. The University of Nottingham starts off definitely looking on the front foot, the more aggressive of the two teams. They've really been paying Durham back, and Durham haven't looked the strongest in terms of defence. They seem to actually almost lose their concentration there for that opening goal. They have come back with a bit of forward pressure of their own, though, so it still looks like it's going to be a really interesting game we've got on our hands here.
A lovely bit of trickery there from the Durham number 10 as he looks to spray the ball outright. Oh, and he's cynically brought down there by the number 5 for the green and gold. Lucky not to get a caution for that there, Josh Rollett, as he upended the Durham University player. Now they receive a free hit just on the final third of the pitch as the ball goes out for a long corner for the University of Durham. Picked up by Durham in the middle of the park, spread out wide to Durham's number 2, who's got plenty of time and space on this left-hand side to pick a pass into the box. Oh, and it's picked up to number 3, who just chips it into the net. A fantastic finish there for Durham University. The fans are going wild from the away supporters on this right-hand side. It's now one apiece in this Bucks National Competition semi-final here down at the Nottingham Hockey Centre. A lovely play from the University of Durham number 2 going down that left-hand side. Picked a pass into the box. The number 10 for the University of Durham took his time, but then coolly chipped the ball into the left-hand corner of the net. Tranter had no chance in between the sticks for the green and gold. A nice bit of play there from Durham. I think it's been coming during this match with the recent spell of play that they've had.
Yeah, it certainly has, Joe. I mean, they've definitely grown into the game much more as it's been going on, Durham. Unfortunately for the University of Nottingham, there was a bit of desperation as well about the way they were defending there. Like you said, it was a bit of a rash tackle from the Nottingham number 5 that led to that free hit which they had. And it's not exactly encouraging, but I'm hopeful that the University of Nottingham can come back from this. But Durham are again coming forward on the attack here.
Yeah, Durham rampage forward on the attacks, picked up by number 31, who looks for a pass into the box, and then it's finished again. Oh my goodness me, and number 20 just slid in there and hit the ball into the left hand corner of the net for the University of Durham. It was some quick incisive passing from the number 3 down that right hand side as he played it into the box, and then it was coolly finished off. But I think it was the number 31 for the University of Durham. And now it's 2-1 to the away side here after the University of Nottingham were doing so well at one up in this first period. They then conceded 2 goals in the space of about 3 minutes there. Been far the better side in this match, but have let Durham come back into it. And it's now 2-1. It's now 2-1 to Durham University, Jeremy. It's not been a defensive display to be proud of so far, I don't think.
No, it certainly hasn't. Those last 5 minutes were pretty shambolic from the University of Nottingham. It starts off, like I said, from the first goal was chaotic, and the second goal, I think they were still in frustration about conceding and they got caught short. Durham have really worked out that counter-attack. Seems to be saying that they're very good at pouring down Nottingham's left-hand side and then whipping a ball in. It has caused confusion and frustration for Nottingham, and it's resulted in the second goal.
We're thinking the Durham University keeper has rushed out too early for the for the short corner, which prevented the University of Nottingham from making a hit on the ball. The short corner is to be retaken by the green and gold number 14. Looks like the number 20, Tom Sorsby, or possibly the number 11, are about to hit the ball. Can the University of Nottingham regain a foothold in this match? Picked up by the number 11, and it's swept in into the net for the University of Nottingham just as the half-time whistle blows. It's 2-2 now down here at the Nottingham Hockey Centre. A brilliant, brilliant finish by the number 22 there for the University of Nottingham. The score now returns to level terms. The University of Nottingham were one up, then they were two down, and now they've salvaged back a goal to make it 2-2 down here at the University of Nottingham Hockey Club. Jeremy, that was a fantastic strike, just nestling in the bottom right-hand corner of the net for the University of Nottingham.
Yeah, well, like we've been saying, Joe, they've been getting the better share of these short corners, and they've made it pay fine. They've been getting closer and closer, but they got that one in just on the stroke of half-time, and the Durham keeper kicking the ball away out of his net in frustration, and the Durham team seems to have gone in with their heads dropped. That really has helped Nottingham. They really needed that now. It's an all-action game we've got so far. They won a short corner, but it's then played outside. Ooh. Whipped it into the D, but has come off a deflection from the Durham number one and has gone out of play. University of Nottingham keeping up the pressure here, really wanting to take advantage of this, but well, I say that as they pass it back to the halfway line before again it is driven into the box, collected by the Nottingham's number six, whipped in. Can he finish? And they do! It's a goal for the University of Nottingham, and they take the lead. Nottingham's number 13 has scored and pulls them the green and gold back in the lead. Freddie, what do you make of that period of play? Fantastic work.
Well, I think you have to say on the balance of play, Nottingham do deserve it. We've been much the better team in the start of this second half, pushing forward into that final third, driving into the D, and great play there to get it into the box. Worked it out from the wide position, and great finish into the back of the net.
Yeah, the number 13 there really took his time for the finish. It was some wonderful build-up play on the left-hand side by Johnny Ruiz, the number 7, and then picked into the box for the number 13, who finished it with aplomb. 3-2 to the University of Nottingham now. Let's hope they hold this lead, unlike squandering it in the first half.
Failed amount of pressure there for Durham University as the University of Nottingham received the ball after an attempted shot where it blazed wide. But the University of Nottingham now trying to control the game a bit more, setting back into the rhythm they had in the first half when they had that period of dominant display. And they're passing it around the back, mostly centering it through Gandhi at the moment, who whips the ball out wide, but again is receiving it basically at the pivot of three players basically on either side. Nottingham looking for the space to try and exploit. Durham are holding their shape much better than they did in the first half, and University of Nottingham are struggling to find the space at the moment.
I think the question for Nottingham University now is whether they push on to try and get that fourth goal or sit back and defend that slim one goal margin. As it stands, just rolling the ball around the back, got to be a little bit careful there in that defensive third, but pushing forward now and hopefully we'll get that fourth goal just to seal the victory and make it a little bit more comfortable for the green
University
goal.
Of Nottingham now with a short corner. They're just discussing how to make the most of it. We've seen guys, they have taken full advantage of these before. Do you think they're going to probably try and use the experience they've gained so far for another one?
Well, it's all about the tactics with these short corners, and we'll see what the coaches have worked up on the training pitch for this one. He just steadies himself, ready to whip this into the middle as the Durham defenders gather in the goal on the goal line, ready to break out and try and block this. It goes into the centre. Nottingham 1-2. Oh, and it comes deflection off the goalkeeper. It's into the back of the net. Finished from the edge of the D by one of the green and gold. What a fantastic finish that was. Just came off the edge of the keeper's foot, I think it was, and deflects into the roof of the net. Fantastic finish. 4-2 for the green and gold.
Yes, and of course, that goal now puts two goals clear between the University of Nottingham and Durham University. And it was visible to see Durham players throwing the masks away in frustration as they stormed out after that short corner. Unlike the University of Nottingham, when they went down by a goal, Durham really are looking like they're showing much more visible frustration. And that could play into the University of Nottingham's hands. 4-2 at the moment. University of Nottingham, though, passing it down their left-hand side, staying on about the 20-yard mark as the number 26 danced around, trying to keep the number one for Durham off him, but he's staying very close to him at the moment.
Great dribbling,
but a bit of a... Yes, it was. It has been given for the University of Nottingham. A brutal tackle there by... on the shins, yeah, by the Durham number one, who has been awarded a yellow card for it.
As the Durham 17 squares up to the University of Nottingham player.
In fact, he's actually been sent off. He's been sent to the sin bin, we're assuming, for a few minutes as he's been told to go off. He was getting quite riled up at that point, but the University of Nottingham now have a man advantage as well as a two-goal advantage.
You have to say that was fantastic dribbling from the University of Nottingham. Great, inside and out, just turned his man. There was nothing the Durham player could do but bring him down, and they're down on players. They go on the attack, going down the right-hand side, trying to whip it into the box, but good defence again from the Green and Gold. Looking really strong now, far more dominant than any point in this match so far.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell actually that Durham were down a man there as they came charging forward once again. They are really determined to try and claw at least one goal back in this match. Short corner for Durham University. Play the ball out, but again Durham can't seem to be able to quite make advantage as the University of Nottingham defend the ball very well and now come charging forward on the break down the Nottingham left, whips it into the D. University of Nottingham looking for players there, and unfortunately it just was scuffed wide as it came off the post by the number 6. Thank you, Freddie. It was very good work from them though, wasn't it?
Fantastic counter-attacking move, and the number 6 did so well to get to the byline that quickly. Ball fizzed into him, just controlled it nicely, and you're looking to square it for runners on this left-hand side over here for an easy tap-in, but couldn't quite do it. Scuffed it out of play. Good chance wasted there.
Short corner for Durham as they play it in. Whipped across. Diving save from the University of Nottingham keeper. Keeps it out, and it's then cleared out of play. University of Nottingham players jumping for joy. They know that that is a significant moment which they've been able to overcome. And the whistle blows for full time. The University of Nottingham are victorious. They've beaten the University of Durham 4-2. Fantastic display, wasn't it, Joe, by them?
Yeah, it was a brilliant display from the Green and Gold after going one up in the first half. To have those two goals in quick succession, they showed almighty character, I think it's fair to say, to come back from that one goal deficit to equalise just before half time. And then those two goals in the first half, courtesy of some brilliant wing play and some excellent finishing as well. Very composed and very solid at the back as well, and now they progress to the Big Bucks Wednesday in Bath next week, which is a fantastic achievement for this University of Nottingham men's first side.
Yeah, indeed. Freddie, what do you make of it? I mean, it was a strong display in that second half to hold out.
Yeah, great celebrations there at the end. You can see what it means to each and every one of them. Played their heart out today, and as Joe said, yeah, great character from all the lads, and 4-2, I think a fair result. At the end of the day, well played from all the players out there today.
This is URN Sport.